Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Invalid Search Warrants and Qualified Immunity Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 22, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Messerschmitt v. Melender. This case presented two questions. The first was whether police officers are entitled to immunity from suit when their search of a gang member's residence for firearms and gang-related items was based on a warrant that a court later determined to be overly broad and not reasonably supported by probable cause. The second question was whether the standard applicable to immunity determinations in such circumstances, a standard that asks whether the warrant was so lacking in addition of probable cause as to render official belief in its existence entirely unreasonable, is problematic and should be altered. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held by a vote of 6-3 that the officers searching the residence were entitled to immunity from suit with respect to their search for firearms and gang-related materials. The court also declined to refashion the, quote, lacking indicia of probable cause, end quote, standard. Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Breyer, and Alito joined the majority opinion. Justice Breyer also filed a concurring opinion, and Justice Kagan filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part. Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ginsburg, filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have Joshua Skinner, a member at Fanning, Harper, Martinson, Brandt, and Cutchin, P.C. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Skinner.
On February 22nd, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Messerschmitt v. Melender. The case involved whether Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies could be held personally liable for violating the Fourth Amendment when they executed a search warrant that was approved by a neutral magistrate. The case started with a domestic assault by Jerry Ray Bowen, a known gang member, on his ex-girlfriend, Shelley Kelly. Kelly was attempting to move out of her apartment and requested police presence from the county sheriff's office because she feared Bowen could become violent. Unfortunately, the sheriff's deputies were called away to an emergency during the move-out. While the deputies were gone, Bowen assaulted Kelly, attempted to throw her off a second-story landing, and ultimately shot at her with a sawed-off shotgun as she drove away. Kelly reported the incident to the sheriff's deputies. Based on Kelly's report and other information discovered in police databases, Messerschmitt, a sheriff's deputy, put together a search warrant affidavit listing grounds to justify the issuance of a search warrant for the arrest of Bowen and the search and seizure of various items from the residence owned by Augusta Melender, Bowen's foster mother. Messerschmitt submitted the affidavit and the proposed warrant to his supervisor, to an assistant district attorney, and ultimately to the magistrate. All three approved the affidavit and warrant, and the search warrant was issued by the magistrate. The warrant authorized the arrest of Bowen, as well as the search and seizure of, as relevant here, all firearms and firearm-related items and articles of evidence showing or relevant to gang membership. Messerschmitt, along with other sheriff's deputies, executed the warrant. The only firearm found belonged to Augusta Melender, a woman in her 70s. No evidence of gang membership was found. The Melenders filed suit against the county and various individuals, alleging that the search warrant was invalid under the Fourth Amendment. The suit also sought damages from the deputies. The parties filed cross motions for summary judgment on the validity of the search warrant. The deputies also asserted that they were entitled to qualified immunity because, even assuming the search warrant violated the Fourth Amendment, a reasonable police officer in their position could have believed that the search warrant was valid and supported by probable cause. The district court held that the search warrant violated the Fourth Amendment because it was overly broad and also rejected the deputies' claim that they were entitled to qualified immunity. The deputies appealed, and a divided panel of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed the district court's denial of qualified immunity. The Court of Appeals granted rehearing en banc, however, and affirmed the district court's denial of qualified immunity. Up at the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion of the court, holding that the deputies were entitled to qualified immunity for their execution of the warrant because they could have reasonably believed that the facts in the warrant affidavit established probable cause for the search authorized by the warrant and because their supervisors and a neutral magistrate had approved the warrant. Justice Breyer, who joined the opinion of the court, also filed a concurring opinion. Justice Kagan filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part. Justice Kagan agreed that the deputies were entitled to qualified immunity as to their search for all firearms, but not as to their search for indicia of gang membership. Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ginsburg, however, filed a dissenting opinion. The decision of the Supreme Court rests primarily on the somewhat obscure area of the law known as qualified immunity. However, there are also some important points regarding the Fourth Amendment search and seizure requirement. Qualified immunity is a doctrine derived from the English common law that protects public officials from suit and from liability in areas of the law that are unclear. The basic theory of the modern qualified immunity doctrine is that a public official should not be held personally liable for his or her official actions that are subsequently decided by a court to violate the Constitution or federal law, unless the official's actions were objectively unreasonable in light of clearly established law. In other words, if the law was unclear when the public official acted, the official will not be responsible for damages out of his or her own pocket. The doctrine is of particular importance in our time in light of the continually changing nature of constitutional jurisprudence. As the Supreme Court has noted, without the protection of qualified immunity, few people would be willing to enter public service. The central importance of the Messerschmitt decision in the context of the qualified immunity doctrine is that it is another indication that the current Supreme Court will not hold public officials, such as the deputy sheriffs involved in this case, to a higher standard than judges. There are two important points here. First, there was no allegation that Messerschmitt concealed information from the magistrate who issued the warrant. And second, the magistrate made an independent evaluation of the sufficiency of the warrant and then issued the warrant. The fact that a judge, the magistrate, issued the warrant appears to have been a critical point for the majority, and on that issue there appears to be a 5-4 split in the court. Justices Sotomayor, Ginsburg, and Kagan clearly did not find the magistrate's involvement to be a critical factor. But more significantly, Justice Breyer's concurring opinion makes no mention of the magistrate in explaining why he joined the majority opinion. Instead, Justice Breyer focuses on the underlying factual circumstances and concludes that the deputies could reasonably have believed that the scope of their search was supported by probable cause. The majority, however, did believe that the magistrate's approval should generally be sufficient to insulate the deputies from personal liability. After all the majority reasons, if a judge trained in the law thought that the warrant complied with the Fourth Amendment, why should we expect non-lawyers to know otherwise? The court decided the case on the qualified immunity issue of whether the deputies' actions were objectively reasonable in light of clearly established law. Consequently, since the court granted qualified immunity, it did not have to get into the question of whether the search warrant in question actually complied with the Fourth Amendment. Nevertheless, some of the court's discussion of the Fourth Amendment issue may be fruitful to police in future litigation. First, in deciding whether the search warrant affidavit submitted by Messerschmitt supported the scope of the search warrant, the majority decision focuses on the facts as alleged in the affidavit rather than considering the facts as they were understood by Messerschmitt, who signed the affidavit. Justices Sotomayor, Ginsburg, and Kagan would have held that the search for gang-related items violated the Fourth Amendment because Messerschmitt later testified that he did not believe that Bowen's assault on Kelly was gang-related. The majority, however, rejects reliance on Messerschmitt's deposition testimony. The majority first points out that there are no allegations that Messerschmitt concealed facts from the magistrate. Next, the majority argues that the facts in the affidavit could have been interpreted by a reasonable officer to imply that the assault was gang-related. For instance, Messerschmitt mentioned in the affidavit that Bowen had been particularly upset with Kelly because she had, quote, called the cops on him. The majority's conclusion seems, at first glance, somewhat odd in light of the fact that it was Messerschmitt who drafted the affidavit and warrant, submitted it to the magistrate, and participated in the execution of the warrant. After all, as the dissent points out, why should the court speculate as to what some random officer might believe based on the affidavit when we have the testimony of the officer who not only signed the affidavit, but also executed it? The majority's rule, which may stem largely from the fact that the case is a qualified immunity decision rather than a decision on the merits of the Fourth Amendment issue, appears calculated to provide clarity and consistency in deciding whether police officers should receive qualified immunity. One of the key aspects of modern qualified immunity jurisprudence has been a shift away from requiring subjective good faith on the part of the officers to requiring merely objective good faith or objective reasonableness. This shift from subjective to objective reasonableness has various advantages. The objective standard generally increases the chance that qualified immunity cases can be resolved prior to trial. In addition, the objective standard means that, for instance, all of the officers involved in a search will be protected by qualified immunity based on the same objective facts, and there is no need to litigate the issue. The majority appears cognizant of the fact, mentioned in other qualified immunity decisions, that the mere possibility of lengthy litigation is likely to deter public officials from filling their duties with appropriate diligence and zeal. Second, the majority opinion states that a reasonable officer could believe that the warrant provision permitting the search and seizure of gang-related evidence is supported by probable cause because it might prove helpful in impeaching Bowen's testimony or rebutting various defenses he could raise at trial. Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg were particularly concerned that the majority's ruling would authorize what amount to general searches detached from probable cause. While the majority's opinion could be read to imply that such general searches are justified by a desire to find impeachment or rebuttal evidence, it is important to keep in mind that this is a qualified immunity decision. The court was not holding that such a search warrant is permissible under the Fourth Amendment, but that a reasonable officer could have believed it was permissible. Though the court does not explain its reasoning, it probably means that a reasonable officer could believe that the search was permissible because prior case law did not clearly prohibit such a warrant. In the language of another recent qualified immunity decision, the Fourth Amendment question is not, quote, beyond debate. While prior case law may indicate that the warrant will be held to violate the Fourth Amendment, the issue was not settled when the police officers were acting, and they get the benefit of that uncertainty. Whether Messerschmitt will have any long-term effect on Fourth Amendment jurisprudence remains to be seen. As in many other areas of the law, Chief Justice Roberts' majority decision is a narrow ruling and does not clearly resolve any outstanding Fourth Amendment issues. The main take-home message from the case is that the court should not impose personal liability on police officers when a judge approved their conduct. Judges, not police officers, are expected to be experts on the law, and as a general rule, police officers should not have to pay money damages out of their own pockets because a judge approved a search warrant that was later held to be unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.